I hear some of you are already turning in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. It's one of the benefits of preaching through a series. Everyone knows where you're going to be if you're preaching through a book. We're in Galatians chapter 6, verse 11 through 18. And I've entitled this message, A Final Reminder to Glory in the Cross. Galatians 6, 11 to 18. It starts, "Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." So as we're finishing up looking at the book of Galatians, this epistle that was written by Paul to the church at Galatia, verse 11, Paul says something that is kind of weird. At first you're like, why is he even saying that? What's the point? He says, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand." So he says, look how large a letter, an epistle I've written to you with my own hand. It's like, okay, what does that have to do with anything? Well, you see, normally Paul used what the theologians call an amanuensis, which is a fancy word for secretary, to write most of his epistles that he wrote in the New Testament. He had someone nearby, sometimes it was Luke, sometimes it was another person, who would actually write as Paul dictated to them what to write. Because there's a lot of conjecture that Paul's thorn in the flesh was an eye problem. He could not see very well, so it was very difficult for him to write letters himself. And when he did write, he would actually write very large, which is the idea here. He wrote this entire letter by himself with his own hand, and it was a very large, with the words were very large compared to how most people would write it. And I think the reason he's saying this is because he wants to show them how important this epistle was to him that he wrote. He wasn't willing to wait until he could find someone to write down what he had to say to the church at Galatia, what he felt God was moving him to tell the church at Galatia. He wrote it himself so that it would get to them the quicker and they would know how much this meant to him. And really, the rest of these verses we look at, I think he really gets to the crux of the matter and why this is such an important issue to him, this idea of walking in the Spirit rather than living according to the flesh. So as we finish our trek through Galatians, we will see a final warning and a blessing. A warning of the true nature of the legalists that seek to change the grace of God into the works of the flesh. They cannot be trusted, for they do not serve God. They serve themselves. And he leaves with a blessing. He closes with a blessing upon those that heed the word of God and walk according to the Spirit rather than by the flesh. So first, in verses 12 through 13, we see Paul describe these legalists who glory in the flesh. He says, "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." Now these Judaizers, these legalists, were not telling the church at Galatia they needed to be circumcised because they had any concern for the people in that church. That was not their motive. They did not care about those people. They had ulterior motives. And you know, this is very true of false teachers, isn't it? Most of the time, false teachers have ulterior motives as to why they are teaching heresy. There are some who are honestly mistaken, but by and large, most of them have a reason, and that reason is not one that glorifies God. It's to glorify themselves often. And you can see that when you just look at all the televangelists on the TV today that are attempting to use the so-called gospel message to enrich themselves. We need to watch out and be careful. Be wise to note, see those that are using the gospel as a means to enrich themselves and bring glory to themselves. You see, their focus wasn't on what was best for the Galatians. Their focus was on what was best for them. They were hoping to use the church at Galatia as a trophy. Have you ever had people talk? Have you ever heard people talk about the ministry they built? Look at this ministry I built. Look at all this. You know, as soon as you hear that, that's a warning sign. It might just be a misspoke, but a lot of times it's a warning sign. When they begin focusing on how they built this, their heart's not in the right place. And too many ministries are built around bringing glory to a particular preacher, singer, teacher, etc. And the focus of our ministries ought to always be Christ. But too often, it's men. And I've seen churches that were built around a personality. Even when the pastor wasn't trying to make the church built around him, it ended up being that way. And when that pastor left, the church fell apart because the church was built around him and not around Christ. And secondly, we see not only did they not care about the Galatians' spiritual health, they were doing this in part to avoid persecution. Paul says that lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. They were attempting to convince these Galatians that circumcision was necessary for salvation, and in doing so, they were hoping to alleviate the concern of the Jewish religious leaders about Christianity. They wanted Christianity to be viewed as a sect of Judaism. By pushing the keeping of the law, they were attempting to minimize the differences between Christianity and Judaism so that they would be accepted as a Jew and not be persecuted as heretics. You see, they were trying to apply the standards of the world at that time to the church. They were more concerned with fitting in and blending in with what was currently acceptable. They were not concerned with following the actual teaching and gospel message given by Christ. Their focus was on trying to make Christianity acceptable to the world. And whenever we try to make Christianity acceptable to the world, we are putting ourselves in a very, very dangerous place. They were trying to make, when fitting in with the world, okay, I said, look through history. Where did the Catholic Church come from? Where did a lot of the teachings and the ideas that are the false teachings in the Catholic Church came from? They came when the church became the Church of Rome. And it became the official religion. The very thing that empowered the Catholic Church, which was the endorsement of the Roman government, was also the very thing that perverted it to the point that it no longer taught the truth. Because the church was now trying to take in the culture and use the culture rather than transform the culture. As Christians, as a church, we should never allow fear of the world to influence our doctrine, our teaching, or our living. When we do this, the world has more influence on our faith than Christ. And that was really, I think, one of the biggest problems with these Judaizers. They were so worried about what the Jewish religious leaders thought that they were willing to compromise the gospel message in order to make it more palatable to those people. And we need to make sure we never compromise the truth. Because once this occurs, we are no longer following Christ. We are following the dictates of the world. We are no longer Christians. We are no longer disciples of Christ. Instead, we're just like the world, living in the flesh. And then Paul says something interesting in verse 13. He says, "For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in the flesh." He reminds them, they don't keep the law. Remember what Galatians talked about? Remember the whole epistle? The fact that no one can keep the whole law? We see that through many other parts of Scripture as well in Romans. No one can attain that righteousness according to the law. Being circumcised is not some magical work that makes one more righteous. It is a work. It is a work of the flesh. And works of the flesh bring about corruption, as we saw last week. They don't bring eternal life. They wanted the Galatians to believe that keeping the law by being circumcised was important for salvation, and yet they themselves could not even keep the law. They could not live up to the standards that they claimed were necessary for righteousness. And the true question is, can any legalist live up to his standards? No. We can't live up to those standards in the flesh. We can't live righteously in the flesh. And when you see peoples whose ministry is built upon legalism fall, it shouldn't surprise you. Because they've built it on their flesh and not upon grace, not upon walking in the Spirit, but on doing good works. Doing good works is not bad, but when that is the method by which we are trying to attain righteousness and seem righteous in the eyes of others, then that is when we are putting ourselves on a perch from which we will fall. And they want to glory in your flesh. Paul told them, they want to glory in your flesh. They are not looking out for the best interest of the church at Galatia. They cared more about themselves than they do about the Galatians. They wanted the Galatians as a trophy for their teaching. They were not seeking after the glory of God. They were more interested in proving the worth of their ideas than in bringing glory to God. Their focus was on themselves and not God. And their purpose was selfish. You know, at the beginning of this passage, at the beginning of chapter 6, we were told to bear each other's burdens and restore one another in meekness. What was the reason that God, through Paul, told us to do that? Because we love one another. And doesn't the Bible tell us that they shall know us by our love one for the other? And Paul says that we are to love, and last week we saw him tell us to show goodwill and show mercy to everyone, especially to the brethren. And that is our purpose. Our purpose ought to always be to do that which is best for those around us. But now we see what Paul's motive was. You see, these Judaizers' motive was to glory in the flesh. How would Paul know that was their motive? Well, because he used to be one of them. Remember back in the beginning of Galatians? He talked about how he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. There was no one that was better at keeping the law than him. He was a super Jew. He was perfect. Everyone looked up to him. He was the golden boy of the Pharisees. He was in line to become the next leader. He knew where these people were coming from. He understood the mindset of legalism, because he had lived it. And so then, when Paul was converted, he did a total change. And he says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, Paul was no longer concerned about his own glory as he was before he got saved. He was no longer concerned about proving to everyone else how righteous he was. He was only concerned about the cross of Christ and bringing glory to God. And he says, God forbid, and that is the God forbid, when you see that phrase in the New Testament, it is the absolute strongest way to negate an idea. Absolutely, positively not. No way. It's one of the strongest negative statements in the original Greek language that you can come up with, period. and in the English as well. God forbid, may it never be, may it never be so. Paul did not want glory for himself. He knew what that was all about. He was done with that life. He didn't care about getting the glory. And he gave it up because he wanted the glory to the cross. It says, in anything but the cross, the world is crucified. Paul said, the world is crucified to me. The things of the world didn't matter to him. He didn't care what the Jewish religious leaders thought about his religion. He just did not care what they thought. If they didn't accept him as a Jew, okay, fine. I don't care. That was Paul's mentality. Unlike the Judaizers who were trying to change Christianity so that the Jew religious leaders would accept it. Paul says, no. I don't care what the world thinks. It's dead to me. Paul wasn't worried about his glory, honor, reputation, money, or power. They were all worthless to him. And he says, I am dead to the world. He didn't care what the world thought about him. His reputation was not his concern. He only cared about the cross, the message of the cross. And he says, in Christ Jesus, the presence or lack of circumcision means absolutely nothing. There was no benefit. He says, there's no benefit to being circumcised in this area. It doesn't make you a better Christian. It doesn't make you more righteous. It doesn't make it easier to live a spiritual life, and it doesn't draw you closer to God. But he also says there's no benefit in not being circumcised either. Neither the Gentile nor the Jew had an advantage when it came to the cross, when it came to obtaining mercy and grace from Christ. Now, there are other times in Scripture where Timothy get circumcised. Not for salvation, but so that Timothy would have a better chance at reaching the Jews, so he could minister better. You see, to Paul, it was nothing. It didn't matter in the realms, and God doesn't care about it when it comes to salvation. Because we are new creatures. That's what matters. Another passage says, old things are passed away, all things are become new. We are no longer the same person that we were before we got saved. This means that the things that used to matter to us shouldn't matter anymore. The things that used to bind us should no longer bind us. And Paul, those things that bound him were the law, was an attempt to be righteous according to the law. And he no longer cared about that. All he cared about was doing the will of God. Preaching the gospel message, the cross. And then he closes with a blessing from God upon those who walk in the Spirit as God wants us to do, that we would be given mercy and peace. And then the last verse, and then Paul reminds us that he is the servant of Christ and no one else. Paul says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He's saying, I am a slave to Christ. I answer to him and no one else. And you know, we are, as Christians, accountable to those around us, aren't we? But ultimately, in the end, we are personally accountable to Christ for what we do and no one else. And when we stand before the judgment throne, and Christ asks us, why did you do this thing? Ultimately, the responsibility for the choice of doing that thing lies upon us and not upon the person who misled us or betrayed us and took us down the wrong path. Because each of us is individually responsible for how we follow Christ. We all ultimately answer to him and him alone. And we are each responsible for our actions. You know, a lot of people think of Christian liberty as I get to do whatever I want to do. No, Christian liberty is the freedom to do right. And it's the freedom that we have to be accountable to God and not to man. To protect ourselves against false teachers, it is important that we keep in mind the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is not to bring glory to men or to any man. It is not to be given a platform upon which men can boast or show off their righteousness. The purpose of the church has always been and ought to always be to bring glory to Christ by preaching the message of the cross, which is the gospel. We should not worry about the world, what the world thinks of this message. We should not worry about how the world will react to the message. We should focus on preaching the gospel that we have been given by Christ about Christ. Ultimately, it's not about you, it's not about me, and it's not about any of us. It's all about Christ and the cross.